Thanks very much. And thanks for coming, everyone, because Chris isn't joking. Genuinely thought it might just be me and him and people doing jobs. So thanks for coming. I feel like it's a tricky subject anyway. That's my introduction. But then Chris has said Dedo had a lot to say. That worries me greatly. There was also a point in the week where I was like, well, oh, okay, that's good. If Dedo's speaking on Pentecost in the morning, maybe we should just play her talk again in the evening. That was genuinely a thought I had, but anyway. I'll go back to my introduction, which is, hi, I'm Katie, if you don't know me. I'm part of the leadership team for the 7 o'clock service, and hopefully looking a bit less bags under the eyes, probably not, because it's half term, because when I'm not here, I'm a teacher. And it's half term. Well, I won't say that too loudly because that probably doesn't apply to a lot of people in the room, which make you not like me. Anyway, I always seem to start my talks with some kind of confession or, don't make those eyes at me, or I've completely forgotten what I was going to say. A confession, it's your fault. A confession or a moan, that's what usually happens. There's no moan today because it's half term. But my confession is that I had to switch weeks with Catherine. Catherine was down to speak this week. And when I saw it was Pentecost, I said, yeah, that'll be fine. And then when I saw it was Pentecost, I was like, oh, that's not fine. I was like, oh, that's tricky. And when I kind of started thinking about it a couple of weeks ago, I was like, oh, this is as tricky as I thought it was going to be. Wasn't feeling totally inspired. John's not here, so I can say that I emailed John and said, John, what would you like me to speak on? Is it free reign? Which was an accident, because then he went, yes, it is. You can say whatever you like. I was like, well, that doesn't help me whatsoever. So the topic is Pentecost, and I think it's a tricky one to speak on. I'm just going to put that out there so you can forgive me for anything I say later. Probably because it's preached on fairly frequently, i.e. it would happen every year at this time of the year. But I've got a few thoughts that I'm going to share that link to Pentecost. They do link to Pentecost. And then a few other things that have just been kind of on my heart recently. So hopefully I will say something that's worth listening to. This is the worst introduction ever. Let's move on. The best place to start is by reading the passage, which John also didn't give me. So I've taken Acts chapter 2, but actually I'm not going to read it. I'm going to ask Natalie to show us a video clip. I'm not going to ask you to read it. I'm going to ask you to show a video clip, which tells us the story.
On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. There were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem, and when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. They were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there, amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, Listen carefully, all of you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark, and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Okay, so Pentecost was the time when the disciples received the Holy Spirit for the first time. I'm going to dip into kind of Acts chapter 2, a bit of chapter 1. So if you want to have that open in front of you, go for it. So if we sort of set the scene a little bit, the resurrection had happened 7 weeks before this. I say that quite flippantly, but 7 weeks is no time at all, is it? It's like a term for me. And to have processed an event like that, oh, I've got some friends with me, that's okay. 7 weeks to kind of let all that had happened that Easter weekend sink in is no time at all, really. I kind of imagine that the disciples were still reeling from it, really. And then 10 days before Pentecost, Jesus ascended into heaven, having told the disciples that he would send the Holy Spirit. That's earlier in Acts. I think when I think about Pentecost, I think it's, you know, it's written in the Bible. It says it very matter-of-factly. This is what happened. But those poor disciples, just take a minute just to think about how they would have felt. They'd been following Jesus for, you know, 3 years, believed he was the Messiah. He was going to save them. He's arrested. He's crucified. And their world is literally blown apart. Then kind of amidst all that confusion and grief that would have been happening, Jesus rises from the dead and he's back. What an incredible time in their lives. I like to remind myself that as crazy as my life might seem sometimes, it's not been that crazy. That would have been an incredible few months for them. So earlier in Acts, in chapter 1, it says, Jesus said to them, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So as Jesus had told them, the disciples were waiting. They're still in Jerusalem, as they'd been instructed, and they're in this room together when suddenly the whole house is filled with a blowing wind and fire appears above everybody's head. I've put here, I think that would have finished me off. And I think that's true. I think if I'd been one of the disciples and I'd gone through everything that they'd gone through in those few months, and then suddenly I was in a room with fire on people's heads, goodness knows how I would have reacted, but I don't think it would have been good. So the Spirit allows the disciples to speak in all different kinds of languages, languages of people that are in Jerusalem at the time. And it says in the Bible that they were amazed and perplexed, although some of the people thought that they were drunk. Peter goes on to talk to the crowd and explain to them what's happened and refers back to what was foretold by Joel. I love that in the Bible there are parts that have got incredible amounts of detail. If you think back to some of the passages in the Old Testament where there are incredibly precise instructions for building an ark or building a temple, and it will tell you exactly what you need to do those things. And then we get to a story like this that's quite an incredible thing. People are in a room, this rushing wind comes, and then fire is above, seen above people's heads, and we're sort of just given the bare bones, like, oh yeah, that just happened. There's no kind of wonderment necessarily written here, but if you, I don't know about you, I kind of need to look at it with fresh eyes. I've heard it so frequently that it's just like, yep, that's what happened at Pentecost. But if you stop and thought about that for a minute, if a rushing wind is about to come through that door and we're going to end up with fire above our heads, that would be mental. And that's what it was. I have never received the Holy Spirit by having a tongue of fire over my head. I don't know about you. I'm not sure that I'd necessarily want to. That, like I said, might freak me out. But the good news is that we can still receive the Holy Spirit. Not necessarily like that, but we still receive the Holy Spirit. Like I said earlier, I'm a teacher. This year I've had the dubious privilege of working in year six. It's a really special year, and the children are in it's like the last year of junior school. The children are mature enough for you to kind of have quite fun time with them, but there's also an awful lot of pressure. We had just 2 weeks before half term, the children had to sit their SATs, which are government initiated tests. Be careful what I say. Basically the children's lives kind of are geared towards that for particularly year six, but for the rest of their junior school journey, really. They take those results to their secondary school, but ultimately, really, they're an indication of how well the school is performing. So kind of a reflection of how well I'm performing, which is quite terrifying. I've had more meetings this year than I think I've ever had before, and most of those are to do with looking at lists of children with their levels next to them and their progress that they've made, and we spend time discussing how we can make those children move on, how we can make those children make progress, how we can make sure that they hit the target they need to hit. It's a huge box-ticking exercise. We are just trying to tick boxes to say, yep, we can teach children. Yep, we can give them a good education. Yep, we can get them to a point where they're ready to move on to secondary school. They are secondary ready. Unexcitingly, I am currently considering remortgaging my house. And I have made an appointment to see my mortgage advisor, who's the most intense man known in the world, but great. Thankfully, he's got a lot of my details on file because I've seen him before, so he didn't have to go through all of the who are you, where do you come from, etc., etc. But there's still a lot of forms to fill in. There's a lot of things to sign. I had talked to him about trying to release some money so that I could put double glazing in my house. Very exciting. And I had to invite some double glazing salesmen into my house for this reason, which was an experience. More forms, more things to sign, more box ticking. Over the last few weeks, I've just found that my life is full of box ticking exercises. My life is full of things that I am required to do in order to get something or be something or do something. Thinking about Pentecost and just some things I've been reading over the last few weeks, it's reminded me that my relationship with God is the opposite of box ticking. My relationship with God is not something that I have to strive for. It's not something I have to earn. There aren't a list of requirements for me to fulfill. There aren't a list of things that I have to do in order to get eternal life, in order to have a relationship with God. Sure, I could do with spending more time reading my Bible, praying, and maybe talking to people about Jesus, but ultimately, I'm saved. Ultimately, I am redeemed and I am free by doing nothing other than just saying yes to God. Yes, I want to be part of your family. Yes, I recognize that I am a daughter of you. Yes, I believe that Jesus now lives inside me, and I am loved with an incredible love that I can't begin to understand. But not only do we have that for free, we have that just by saying yes. Not only do we have that relationship with God, but we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. We've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is comforter, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and convictor. Tonight's talk is subtitled Wonderful Counselor. The Holy Spirit is a wonderful counselor who we can trust to listen to us and guide us in the right direction. these things sound a bit too good to be true, but that is the amazing grace that we receive from God. Incomprehensible grace that despite everything that I do wrong, all the mistakes that I make, God still wants to know me. He still loves me and he still wants to have a relationship with me. I don't have to earn that place in heaven. It's freely given. We don't have to earn the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is freely given. I think there are a few things that kind of stuck out for me when reading the story of Pentecost, which potentially are quite similar to Dede. And my good old mum helped me out earlier as well. When it says in Acts chapter 1, I read that bit about not leaving Jerusalem, waiting for the gift my father had promised. The disciples did that. They're obedient to what Jesus had said to them. They waited in Jerusalem. And when I was talking to mum at lunch, she was saying quite rightly that it wasn't like it says the disciples were praying really hard. They were desperate to get the gift of the Holy Spirit. It just says, if I read it from the beginning of chapter 2, it just says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. That's it. They're all together in one place. It doesn't even say that they were praying. It doesn't say they were worshipping. It just says they were there. They are in one place, and suddenly the violent wind came. Suddenly that just happened. And don't get me wrong, I don't think that means we can't ask for the Holy Spirit. And I don't think that means that we don't ask for the Holy Spirit. But I think it means that the Holy Spirit will come to you when the time is right, in God's perfect timing. Sometimes we can be asking for the Spirit to come and fill us and we feel nothing. Sometimes we can ask and feel that tangible presence of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift there to guide us and help us and part of God's amazing grace. A friend of mine who's also a teacher, but she teaches in a middle school in Bury St Edmunds, she went to a Pentecost Eucharist with her school this week. And she said the vicar apparently said nothing in his sermon. He just played a U2 song. And given that I've borrowed a bit of Dede, a bit of mum tonight, I thought I'd carry on, borrow a bit of that vicar too. So in a minute, I'm going to ask Natalie to play this song by U2 that's called Grace. I found an interview with Bono, who obviously wrote the song, and he says this. You see, at the centre of all religions is the idea of karma. You know, what you put out comes back to you, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Or in physics laws, every action is met by an equal or an opposite one. It's clear to me that karma is the very heart of the universe. I'm absolutely sure of it. And yet, along comes this idea called grace to upend all that. As you reap, so you will sow stuff. Grace defies reason and logic. Love interrupts, if you like, the consequences of your actions, which in my case is very good news indeed, because I've done a lot of stupid stuff. So I'm going to get Natalie to play the song. There is a video that comes with it. It's not a YouTube video. It's just something that somebody's put together. But you might want to actually just close your eyes and listen to the words and just use the time to respond however you'd like to. Maybe to be reminded of God's grace for you. Maybe the fact that the grace is freely given and we freely receive eternal life and the Holy Spirit. Or perhaps to use the time quietly to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you. Any second now, the video will be ready. Natalie's doing these eyes, which means she's looking very carefully to find the play button. Oh, it's definitely not Jesus Bible Story for Kids, though. That's not the same. And that might be lovely. Hey! I do not want to sing it to you. Do you want me to come and search, Natalie? It's got a rainbow in the picture. A rainbow. Ooh, that was so high brooms. And it's a beautiful day. Good effort. Okay, good. All good. Great. Thanks, Natalie. And Gordon.
Grace. She takes the blame. She covers the shame. Removes the stain. It could be her name, Grace. It's a name for a girl. It's also a thought. Change the world. And when she walks on the street, you can hear the streams. Grace finds goodness in everything. Grace. Time to talk. She travels outside.